Good morning. Is anybody excited about Jesus this morning? Can we stand as we worship our God? How many know that there is nothing like the presence of God? There's peace in the presence of God. There's hope in the presence of God. There's rest in the presence of God. We bless your name, Jesus.
There's nothing like your presence, Lord. All I want is to be with you. There's nothing like your presence, Lord. All I want is to be with you. There's nothing like your presence, Lord. All I want is to be with you. There's nothing like your presence, Lord. All I want is to be with you.
Ooh. created an atmosphere of worship for a move today. And we're believing God to move on our behalf this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what it is. He's here. Because there's nothing like his presence for him to move in this place this morning. Just receive this morning. Whatever it is that you need from the Lord, begin to receive. Open up your heart. Open up your hands. Open up your mind this morning. We're here to receive. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Catch this.
We are
miracles happen when you move.
Healing is coming.
In this room.
Miracles happen.
Miracles.
here.
We are here for you.
Come
and do what you do.
Set our hearts
on you.
Come and do it, Lord.
Come and do what you do.
We need
a move.
A move this morning. Yeah. Did you catch the words? We are here for you. We get it mixed up sometimes when we come to church, don't we? Sometimes we come for us because we know it is good to join together and to be ministered to and just feel the Spirit together when we're all in one accord. We're unified and we're worshiping the Lord. But really, who are we here for? Jesus. We're here to give him his worth. We're here to worship him. We're here to praise him. Isn't that interesting? Sometimes we get it all mixed around. We need a move. We need a move. This week was Pastor's birthday. And yes! And as you get older, you celebrate a little bit different. So I had heard about this new movie out, Jesus Revolution. And I said, I want to take you to see the movie, Jesus Revolution. You know, there's a lot of movies going around that we can't watch. There's stuff that we don't need to put into our spirits. But this one interested me, and there was a good review on it. I want to tell you a little bit about the movie, and I don't want to mess it up because I know I will. I'll get the guy's name wrong. But there were laughing moments in the movie, but there was a lot of tears too. You know, Pastor and I were alive during the hippie movement. You guessed that right, didn't you? You knew that. You knew that. The movie is about Greg Laurie. He was a young boy with an alcoholic mom and an absent dad. And he grew up needing something in his life. He needed a move. And he, along with many other hippies, searched for the truth. And he finds Jesus. Who is the truth? Who is the way? Who is the life? Jesus, yes. But Greg Laurie and his wife Kathy's love story is also shown briefly in the movie. And guess what? Greg Laurie's one of those hippies that have stuck it out. He still ministers today. Interesting enough, you know, a lot of times you'll hear about somebody who did something great, and then 20, 30 years later, where are they and what are they doing? But he has stuck it out through the ups and downs of ministry. Interesting enough, the hippie culture was misunderstood and not an easy culture to reach, but they had a desire for truth. There was drugs, there was sex. There was weird clothes. There was protest. There were signs. There was hanging out. Everything that parents didn't want for their children. Everything that scared people. But you know what? We like to think that it was a one-time thing. But what are our youth going through right now? There's sex. There's drugs. There's hanging out, there's protest, there's bitterness, there's resentment, there's misunderstanding, there's a desire to want to be understood, there's a desire for truth. And so today, y'all need to go see this movie. The movie was a tribute to the spiritual awakening. They call it the last spiritual awakening. But isn't it interesting? The movie, the people, the actors signed their contracts in early 2020. There was a delay in the movie coming out. And isn't it interesting that God allowed it to come out now, right during the Asbury revival? So I'm asking you, was it really the last spiritual revolution? Was it the last spiritual awakening? No, no. Wouldn't it be great to be a part of history in the newest spiritual awakening? Why not? Because in John 14 it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Do you know that a preacher, a seasoned preacher, tired, frustrated with an old congregation that had dwindled to nothing, his daughter picks up a Jesus freak who's hitchhiking and brings him home. And this seasoned preacher sat and talked with this misunderstood Jesus freak and listened. And God stirred in him, opened the doors of your church for these people. It would have been easy for him to say, we're not having these folks in our church. No way. He opened the doors to the misunderstood people and said, come in, because there is truth inside these doors. There's truth. You're searching. You're battling. You're addicted. You're frustrated. But there's truth for you. Can we say today, there's truth for those Gen X, those Gen Z teens that we're experiencing right now? They want the truth. They want the real. Keisha, they want the real. They want what's real. And you know what? When we introduce them to that, they will feel it. They will know that it's real. Just like the Jesus freaks back in the 60s and 70s, they knew what they had was worth fighting for, was worth being called the Jesus freak. It was worth it. Let's pray today. Father, we do need a move. And we ask, Lord, that when you stir our hearts to minister to others, that we move. We ask, Lord, that you move within us to be able to reach others for you, to be real, to be honest, but to show them the truth, the way, the life, that we direct them to you, Father, because that's what they need. We give you praise, Lord, today, because it is here. We're here to worship you. We're here to thank you for what's going on. And when we hear of all the negative in the world, we also hear of the positive things that are taking place. The spiritual awakening that can be right now. The revival of Asbury to be right now. And not only there, but in multiple locations, Lord. And we accept your presence now. We accept the moving now. We accept your challenge to us that we will move forward. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We're excited today. We're so glad to have you with us today. When we need a move, when we need a move, God is there. But you know what? We have to be willing to move. Do you need a move?
We need a move.
Lord. You can be seated in his presence this morning. It's so good to have you here. And if you're a guest with us, we hope you'll stop by our welcome center right in the middle of our lobby and we have a small gift for you. And we'd like to connect with you today. So if you'll do that with us, that would help us. We'd like to connect and get some information about you and give you some information about us. When you arrived today, you were given a card explaining our Touch the World project that our women's ministries participate in, along with other women's ministries in the Assemblies of God. Let's take a moment to view this video this morning and one of the projects of 2023.
Central and Southern Asia, Europe and Africa are stunning continents with rich history, beauty, and culture. But right under the surface is a heinous yet lucrative industry that is growing faster than anything you can imagine. Sex trafficking and sexual exploitation. In some cultures, they're born into prostitution by virtue of their gender. For other young girls, they've been sold by their families due to extreme poverty. Still, others have been taken or tricked into accepting fake jobs and trusting traffickers who lead them down a wicked path to slavery. Night after night, they are put on the streets, in brothels and clubs to make money for their abusers. They are now at risk for disease, physical danger, and emotionally scarred. They have no hope and no way out. Who will rescue them? Through the ministry of Project Rescue, women are finding freedom. For 25 years, Project Rescue has provided homes, vocational training, trauma counseling, direct intervention, awareness, and prevention education. They offer culturally informed, holistic care to courageous survivors. Dr. Beth Grant, founder of Project Rescue, says, "If evil people can work together for the purposes of sexual exploitation, why can't good people, God's people, work together to bring hope and freedom? As we give, pray, and go, we will light the way."
Can you imagine a world free from sexual slavery, where courageous women and children can live in freedom as fully empowered daughters and sons of God? As we partner together with Project Rescue, you can be part of the solution. An African proverb says, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. By linking arms all across this nation with one mind and heart, I believe that we will go farther and reach more young girls than ever before. We will help find them. We will help rescue them. And we will help them on their journey to full restoration, body, mind, and spirit. So what can you do? What can we do together? Could you help to rescue and restore one woman, 10 women, or thousands perhaps? Would you join me in believing God that AG Women will raise $1 million this year? Together, we can bring hope and freedom into some of the darkest corners of the world. With God, all things are possible.
All right, amen. You know, the North Carolina Assembly of God Women have pledged $65,000 this year. $13,000 of that $65,000 will go toward Project Rescue to light the way. Isn't it interesting that they said some will pray, some will give, and some will go? This morning, you have a chance to give. To change the life of someone that may have been born without a decision, without a choice. You know, when I was a first grade teacher, we told all of our kids, you can be what you want to be because we live in the United States. You can work hard, you can overcome, and you can be what you want to be. But sometimes children are not told that. So today, you have a chance to give. And at this time, we're going to give our tithes and offerings. And you can also add your extra envelope today and give toward missions for Light the Way.
As the deep end.
Let's stand up and give the Lord praise today, would you, all over this building. Oh, come on, all over this building. Let something come from your mouth this morning. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Bible says the name of the Lord is to be praised. Come on. I will give you praise, Lord. I will lift up my voice like a trumpet. Hallelujah. I will exalt you in the high place today because you have redeemed me from the pit. You have set my feet on a solid rock, and I will exalt you. Come on, church. Lift up a shout unto the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Come on. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Hallelujah. You're blessed in the city. You're blessed in the field. You're blessed when you go out. You're blessed when you come in. Come on. Let's worship him today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As deer pants for the water, so my soul, my mind, my will, my emotions, my intellect cries out to you, O God. As the psalmist said, in a dry and a thirsty land where there is no water. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let it be noised abroad. God's doing a new thing. Come on. God's doing a new thing. The ears of all who hear shall tingle at what God is doing. Come on, Ahoskie, North Carolina, a little place that people forgot. A little place where, yes, there are crimes, there are shootings, even last night. But guess what? Today's a new day. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Come on, somebody. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, let him hear it. Let him hear it. Praise the Lord. Well, you should turn to somebody and hug their neck or shake their hand or something. Come on. Come on, say, you in church, man. You in church. You in church. Amen. You in church. Thank you, worship team. Thank you, backline. Thank you, everybody who comes together. Thank you, nursery workers who are working right now. Kids workers. Thank you for coming together. Together, what happens? Everybody accomplishes more. Amen. Thank you, online audience, for following us each week, for listening to us. You can go ahead and hit share right now. Come on. Matter of fact, you want to run the internet crazy this morning right here in this room? How many of you would take a moment, go to Facebook if you got your iPhone? Come on, you know you got your iPhone. You got that before you got your underwear this morning. Come on. I know how you live. Amen. You wake up, roll over, and grab Facebook. Come on, I'm teaching from experience this morning. Go to Carpenter Shop International Church page. Share it to your feet. That's like throwing gas on a fire. Amen. Carpenter Shop International Church Facebook. And just hit share. Put a little message up. Hey, join me at my church today. Share. And the numbers will go up. Amen. The numbers will go up. Wow. Man, I'm happy to be here today. My wife and I prayed about this service last night, lying in bed late. Hey, let's just pray about tomorrow. Let's just pray about tomorrow. I just told somebody a moment ago, I'm more excited than I've ever been about serving the Lord. Amen. I'm more excited than I've ever been about Carpenter's Shop International Church. Amen. God's doing something. Amen. I got friends here today too. Amen. I got friends who came to worship. Come on. Take a moment, recognize some of my friends. I only got four friends and they showed up today. Come on. Randy and Mitzi Hughes, would you please stand right here? Come on, stand up. Old days, Carpenter Shop Church. Praise the Lord. Pastors in Columbia, North Carolina, great, great friends. Also all the way from the city on the rise, Rocky Mount, North Carolina, Eric and Keisha Spivey. Come on, guys, stand up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're so honored today. We're so honored today that you would come and sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus and us. Amen. I'm so glad. We're so glad. Good to see all of you guys. You look good today. You know, you're supposed to say, you too, Pastor. Come on. Come on, give it up for the worship team. Rico and the team. Come on, guys. You appreciate them. We appreciate them. That back line back there, thank you guys for helping us, helping us, helping us. Praise the Lord. Pastor Joy, thank you. I saw your heart move. Because you know what? We've been to India. I've been there. 3 weeks of my life, you sent me there in 1994. 3 weeks of my life I spent in India. James, I remember telling the guy in India, I said, man, I want you to take me to the worst place. He shook his head. He said, Pastor, you don't want to go there, man. I said, yes, I do. I want to go to the worst. Pastor Mike, you understand this, man. You've been all over the world, and it's not like the U.S. I said, I want you to take me to the worst place. He said, okay. And he took me down to a portion of India that broke my heart to see people live that way. And I know what you're saying. Another missions offering? Yes. You cannot outgive God. You can't give him too much. Another missions offering. Well, let me tell you something. Sexual trafficking is not a new thing. We're going to talk about it today. I just told Pastor Joy, I said, wow, this is interesting. I said, I got a part of my sermon today that I've been working on for 2 weeks. Amen. 2 weeks God spoke to me about this word, consecration. And I said, it's crazy because it's right in the middle of the message. And you're talking about the brothels of India today and Project Rescue. I know the grants. Man, they've given their lives. Beth and David have given their lives to snatch young women out of sexual slavery. I remember walking up to the street that day down in India and I saw nakedness and peril, desperation, ungodly sights, little kids who are all together with no mom, no dad, just fending for themselves, pillaging through the trash piles. It makes me think of that passage in Scripture that says, you're rich and increased with goods, have need of nothing. But I say, Jesus said, that you're poor, you're pitiful, you're blind, you're naked. And you know, when in America we behave like, you know, we behave like spoiled people. I'm going to tell you something, man. The word that's coming to me is not a pleasant word. It's a hard word. And if you think my task is easy, you got another thing coming. To stand in the pulpits and grace the world and tell the truth. I'm not here to preach CNN or Fox News or anything like that. I'm here to preach the Bible. Amen. Because the Bible is the only thing that will work. Consecration. How does it work? It's been amazing to see the Holy Spirit moving in the lives of people in the last several weeks. I've often said that it was hunger that the church at large lacked. Hunger. We got everything we need. We're driving a nice vehicle. We got toys, four-wheelers, boats, canoes, kayaks, shotguns, fishing rods, swimming pools, Amazon cards. You get stuff dropped off right to our door in 2 days because we're Prime members. And we're people that are spoiled. My prayer is that God will break our hearts for what breaks His. Hunger, that thing that the church lacks, is what I've seen present in these rooms, in this room in the last few weeks. I've seen hunger. Last week, we didn't even have to invite you to the altar. You just came down like you were a guest on The Price is Right. I just looked across there, and man, people flocking to the altar. I didn't invite you. Didn't have to. That's hunger. That's hunger. Hunger for more. Just seeing altars filled, seeing people filled, and the presence of God manifested. The result results in the renewing of faith in our hearts. Salvations, spirit baptisms, healings, and the like. That's the spirit of revival. That's the spirit of renewal. That's a result of people stepping into something we call consecration. That's an interesting word, a word that we talked about last week. You say, well, every time he starts preaching, he starts talking about last week. I'm going to keep on doing that. Because if I say it twice, maybe you'll get it. Consecration is a word in the Hebrew. You remember if you were here last week, kadash. Q-A-D-A-S-H. Kadash. It means what? It means to set apart, to be dedicated or devoted to keep oneself separate. Say separate with me. To be sacred, to be hallowed, to be prepared. Now, if God's called you to be prepared, that means He has something where? In your future. God has something in your future. Ceremonially, consecration, we looked at that last week, was a washing. I've been to Israel 13 times, and all 13 times I've seen more ceremonial ritual baths than I ever care to see again. You're going to see them everywhere because it was a part of the Hebrew culture. To ceremonially wash, to ceremonially put fresh clothes on. It was a recognition that my garments are stained. My body is stained. It was a preparatory action that was experienced to ready them for tomorrow. You know, how many of y'all know that person that just wears the same clothes every day? You know, they're not ready for tomorrow, are they? Amen? Now, I get the distance out of my jeans now. I just throw them across the chair. Tomorrow morning, I slide in them again. Come on. Any of y'all do that besides me? Come on. Look at all the men raising their hands. Wife said, you better change them funky smelling things. They all right. That's what you tell. They all right. They all right. No, they're about to stand up right now. You need to change them. Joshua chapter 3, verse 5, it says this. Consecrate yourselves for, here we go, tomorrow. The Lord will do amazing things. Joshua was historically leading the children of Israel to the promised land. A new reality of God's provision, a new future, a new dimension of God's promise fulfilled. They were going to a new place, a land flowing with milk and honey. Plenty of dates on the trees, plenty of goats, plenty of sheep. There's a lot of milk there. Can I submit to you that there are some of us here today, some of you here in the building, some of you watching online, some of us listening today that are looking for your new place. Come on. Looking for a new place to go, a better year than last year. You say, Pastor, you don't know, man. I got a lot of junk going on. Oh, I know. I'm in touch with reality. I talk to a lot of people in a given week, some of them in desperate situations. Some of you that are sitting here today may be tired of life as it is. Some of you watching online, tired of life as it is, just hit the comments section. We'll reach out to you. You're worn from the challenges of your adversary, and God used this great Old Testament leader, Yeshua, Joshua. Jehovah is salvation. That's what the name of his name means, Jehovah's salvation. To tell his people, you need to consecrate yourself. Prepare yourself for tomorrow. The Lord will do amazing things among you. How many of you are here today are ready for a new tomorrow, a new experience, a new normal for your life? Some of you wandered in here weary in well-doing, but I can promise you God is not going to let you down. For others, it may simply mean that the spirit of renewal is taking place in your life and you need a freshness. For some of you, it may mean that you need to make a commitment to Jesus, something you're not walking in right now. We'll give you a chance to give your heart to Christ at the end of this service. You say, well, I did it when I was 12. Well, it ain't working for you. Evidently, it's not a reality. It's not working for you because you're struggling right now where you are. I know many times I made commitments to the Lord and nothing changed. You know why? Because I didn't change. Come on. I sat in the leadership conference yesterday and one of the guys spoke a powerful word. He said, leaders, let me tell you something. You are your biggest challenge. Whoa. That's true. You're your biggest challenge. I'm reminded of Paul's words to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verses 17 and 18. What I want to do is draw a line from the Old Testament, consecrate yourselves, just draw a large line all the way into the book of 2 Corinthians. And now we see this word that comes forth from Paul, who established this church on his second missionary journey. Come on, say preach, teach, pastor. Come on. Second missionary journey, he had three of them. And on the second one, he found it under the providence of God to establish a church in Ahoskie, North Carolina, and he named it the Carpenter Shop. Not really. He was in Corinth. And I don't know what the name of the church was other than the church at Corinth. Would that work? He established a church, an ecclesia. Remember that from last week? A group of what? Called out ones. What were that? What happened to them? They were called where? Out. Y'all remember that? God's hinging these messages together for a reason. He called them out. And he said, come out and be ye what? Separate. Just write in your Bible. I don't write in my Bible. Well, go get you one you can write in because you're going to need that. Consecrate. Just write it above separate. Consecrate. He says, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing. How many of you need that to your heart today? Don't touch unclean things. How many of you need to be reminded of that? Don't touch unclean things. Don't answer the text that looks crazy. There's uncleanliness behind it. Don't look at the reel that's coming across your screen. She's just dancing a little bit. Don't look at that. How can you get rid of the reels? You can't. It's a part of the agenda. You have a tool that has a little bit of everything in the box. But you got to control that. Come out from among them and be what? Separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing. And the condition of that is when you do, I will receive you. Okay? And I'll be a father to you, and you'll be my sons, and you'll be my daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Seems like to me there's a condition to a consecrated life. Seems like to me that if you want to live a life revived in your spirit, there is a condition, there is a cost. I've told people many, many times from this pulpit over the years, salvation doesn't cost you a thing. What he did on the cross of Calvary is absolutely free. Nothing has to be paid. It's already been paid. But honey, discipleship will cost you your life. One preacher said it yesterday very well. To a group of leaders sitting in a room at the Rise Church, he said this. He said, when you come to Jesus, you lose all your rights. Y'all quiet, man. When you come to Jesus, you lose all your rights. Come on. Because when you give your life to him and you ask him to be what? Savior and what? Lord. Okay, so now are you comfortable with the statement? When you come to Jesus, you lose what? All your rights. You lose everything, but you gain everything. Okay? You come to Jesus, you lose your right. You can come to Jesus and live a life as a Christian, and then you can be a Dallas Cowboy fan. I don't know why you would be, but you can be as long as you understand that you come to Jesus first, then you can be a Dallas Cowboy fan. I don't know about you. It takes the Holy Ghost to pull for Dallas, man. I'm telling you. I'm messing with some of y'all this morning. You can come to Jesus, be a Christian, and then you get to be white. Oh, I done messed up some of y'all right there. Because you can't be prejudiced and be a Christian. Come on now. You come to Jesus, Jesus is first, and then you can be black. All right? But when you talk about the kingdom, the ground is what? Level at the foot of the cross. It's all level ground. You come to Jesus, you can even be a Democrat if you want to, okay? Now, just hang on. Some of y'all done shot me to the curb. You can even be a Republican. Come on. Don't you think I'm going to get political in this pulpit? I ain't doing it. Amen? I'm gonna present both sides, all right? But you get what I'm saying? You come to Jesus, then you get to make life choices. But as far as everything in this life, as far as your race, your opinions, your loyalty to a party, that's all just secondary, okay? Secondary. But when you come to Jesus, man, you lose all your rights to just bring that. Don't bring politics into the church. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't bring all your mess into the kingdom of God. Let the kingdom stand for the kingdom, all right? Amen? Come out from among them and be what? Consecrated Old Testament, separate New Testament. Amen? Paul is pleading with the church to set themselves apart. Check this out. From the idols of the world that they were following. It's the Old Testament consecration seen in the New Testament church. This is a place called Corinth, all right? Corinth, I want you to see it this morning. So I got a small screen here I put it up on, all right? Corinth is this black line running from the top right down to the diagonal left. That is what we call an isthmus. I know it's hard to say. You sound like you're speaking in tongues.
Isthmus.
Whatever. It's an isthmus. An isthmus is a narrow tract of land between two bodies of water. Here are the bodies of water. There's a gulf on one side. There's a gulf on the other side. The Corinthian gulf is on the left. The other gulf is on the right. And in between those two gulfs is a narrow piece of land where human beings walk. Okay? The fish are in the other part. But human beings are living in this narrow tract of land we call Corinth. All right? Paul had established this church there, and he built it on the foundation of Jesus Christ. It was AD 50 when he did this. Right now we're in 2023. Over 2,000 years ago, he established the church in AD 50. It was a church that was situated between those two large bodies of water. It was a major port, as you can easily see, for sea travel. Boats were in there, ships were in there, in and out, and it would take days. They were importing and exporting, okay? They would take days to unload a ship. You know why? No pallet jacks, no forklifts. Vaughn, you wouldn't have had a job, bro. No job. No forklift. No easy. What did they do? They formed lines, okay? And they're lifting and they're tossing. And it takes them how long to unload a ship? Days. And when guys work all day, what do guys want to do when they get off work? Go out and play. So at night, these men who were unloading these ships, and even the captain and all the workers, at night they would go out on the city, on the town at Corinth. And Corinth, brace yourself here, Corinth was known as the city of 1,000 prostitutes. You know what they did with part of their money? They were temple prostitutes. Study it out. They were out at night. Think about it. What's going on the video you just saw? You saw brothels in India. Sex trade is not a new deal. You say, well, this thing has happened just in the last few years. It's horrible. No, 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 no. This thing has always been happening. It's always happened. And so these men would go out, you understand, they're in Corinth and the ship is docked and it's going to be there for days. And these men would go out and entertain themselves. And the sad thing, reality was this, Paul was really hoping that the church at Corinth, that they would make an impact and influence the culture of Corinth. But guess what happened? The culture of Corinth influenced the church. They got it backwards. Thank you, Pastor Joy. They got it backwards. They looked at it the wrong way. Pastor, how do you know this? I read the Bible, okay? The Bible says this, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, brothers and sisters. Who's he talking about, Christians or non-Christians? Christians, right? Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who were doing what? Living by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly. Y'all got this? I couldn't talk to you that way because you haven't matured. I preached the gospel to you. You accepted Christ, came down to the altar. We shook your hand. We hugged your neck. We laid hands on you. We greased you up with oil enough to be pulled through a keyhole, and you still ain't changed. You've gone out, and you're living like the rest of the Corinthians. You say, Pastor, how do you know that? Because just keep reading the Bible. The Bible says just a couple of chapters down, 1 Corinthians 5, 1 and 2, it is actually, Paul writes this with his hand, it is actually reported among you that there is what? Sexual immorality among you. He's writing to the church. And you got sexual immorality going on. Can I just tell you something? There's sexual immorality sitting in this room right now. Because some of y'all are doing things you should not be doing. Some of you are looking at things you should not be looking at. Some of you are entertaining relationships you should not be entertaining. Some of you are thinking thoughts you should not be thinking. Why? Because you're human beings, and the greatest challenge for human beings is sin. Again, it's yourself. You're your biggest problem. It's actually reported that there's sexual immorality among you. Check out what he says here. And of a kind that even pagans won't even tolerate. Even ungodly people won't even do what y'all doing. He's talking to the church. Then he says, just when they're thinking, what's he talking about? He said, let me give you a case in point. There is a man who's sleeping with his father's wife. You say, wait a minute, that's his mama. No, it's his stepmama. He's crawling up into bed with his stepmother, having an incestuous relationship. And he says this, and you're proud? He's talking to the church. You're putting up with this? You're going to let people remain in the church? You're going to put them in jobs in the church, volunteering, and they're living that kind of lifestyle? You're proud of this? Shouldn't you rather have gone into mourning? Shouldn't you be fasting? Shouldn't you be praying? Shouldn't you be weeping at the altar saying, God, change my church? Shouldn't you rather have taken this man and given him the left foot of fellowship and kicked him out? He said, shouldn't you have kicked him out of the church? So Paul writes to this church, and you know what he does? He brings reproof to the church. He brings rebuke to the church. He brings correction to the church. In fact, verse 5 says this is what they did. Well, we're going to go ahead and make a decision. Got a motion over here, second motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
I don't know how it went down, but I know that the leader, whomever Paul trusted to lead this congregation, took the bull by the horns and said, if I'm going to be the pastor, I'm going to be the pastor. So, sir, you're going to have to leave the church. Verse 5 says, we made a decision to do what? Hand him over to the devil so the devil can go ahead and have his way. Not going to put up with your behavior in the church like this. We're going to hand you over to Satan for the destruction of his what? Flesh. For the destruction of his flesh, so that, here's my translation, that he may at least reach the bottom of himself. Is that all right with y'all? That he may at least reach the bottom of himself and cry out, what must I do to be saved, to be transformed? See, salvation is more than just a decision. God didn't say make decision makers. He didn't say make converts. He said make disciples. What is a disciple? A person who would sit at his feet and learn and then keep on making disciples just like they were made to be a disciple. So he says, we were hoping that his spirit may be saved. The leadership gave him that left foot of exit. By the time Paul writes 2 Corinthians, somebody say 2 Corinthians. We just looked in the first letter. By the time he writes the second letter, scholars say that the man went through a time of repentance and was received back into the church. All right? Come on, give the Lord a hand. God saved this man, okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 7, we're in the second letter now, verses 8 and 9, Paul says, even if I caused you sorrow by my letter, okay? I know that was hard. I know I put him out of the church, but even if I caused you sorrow by my letter, I do not regret it. Though I did regret it, he said, I had some questions going on in my mind. I see that my letter hurt you, but only for a little while. Verse 9, yet now I'm happy because you were made sorry. You came to your senses and you cried out to God and you literally sorrowed for where you found yourself because your sorrow led to what? Your repentance. Well, I can't believe they kicked the guy out of the church. Everybody's welcome at the church. Yeah, everybody is welcome, but you're not going to come in here and parade your sin in front of everybody. There's a protocol, okay? There's a protocol in the Bible that churches, can I just tell you, they don't do it. We do it. But most churches don't do it. I've had to do it. Have you ever asked anybody, pastor, to leave Carpenter Shop Church? And the answer is, yes, I have. I have the files in my office. I documented it. I kept all the notes, but I have asked people to leave this place. I can't believe, I had a lady here in Ahoskie. I can't believe you would ask her to leave your church. I said, ma'am, you're talking about something you know nothing about. Okay? And please know this. I'm going to be judged in a greater way that you ever thought about judging. Okay? That you ever thought about being judged. I will give an account for my actions toward this person. Okay? Hard stuff. All he does is preach on Sunday. Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Hard stuff, but guess what? You have to do it. You have to do the work of the ministry, which Paul said to Timothy involves rebuke, reproof, correction with great patience and long suffering. You got to do it in what? Love. Love. Tough stuff. But listen, sin got to be dealt with. Repentance must come if we're going to make eternity with God. Repentance must come if we're going to enter God's presence. Repentance must come if we are to make our promised land, that is eternal life, in the place that God has prepared for us. Consecration being what? Set apart. By now, you should be feeling the Holy Ghost begin to speak to your heart and deal with you about little things in your life. That's called conviction. And God is trying his best to wave the banner of consecration over your life and over my life and get us to the place where we will separate ourselves from ugly, unclean, ungodly things and serve the Lord with gladness. That's what he wants. He wants a purified church. A church without what? Spot or wrinkle. We know the scriptures. We know them. So how does consecration work? How does being set apart work? How does being dedicated work? How is being devoted work? I'll tell you how it works. How does the soul get revived? Well, revival is always prayer bread. How many of y'all know what it means to breed? It's when the male and the female come together and there's a breeding that takes place and the eggs are fertilized and we have a puppy on the way. Come on. How many of y'all got 49 cats running through your neighborhood? You know what was happening? Some breeding was going on. Okay? So revival is what? Prayer bread. There's some happenings in the spirit in your life, in my life, where God is lining up things and revival is being bred in our hearts. It starts in our hearts and it starts with prayer. The Bible is filled with examples of prayer bred transformations. One of them is a man by the name of Zacchaeus. You know, the guy who was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passing by looked up into the tree, he said, "Come on down, bud. We're going to your house for tea." I know some of y'all had the version today. We're going for your house, going to your house for tea. Zacchaeus, despite his efforts to gain his riches the wrong way, he was a what? Tax collector. In those days, tax collectors were not like tax collectors today, where they worked for the county and they had a salary. A tax collector had no salary. Where did he get paid from? The taxes he collected. And guess what they would do sometime? Collect a lot more than they should have collected. Okay? How many of y'all already feel like the government gets more of your money than they deserve? Come on. Come on. That's one thing we can agree on, Republican or Democrat. Come on. But Zacchaeus was taking more than he should have taken. And despite his efforts to gain all of his riches the wrong way, there did come a moment in his life where he experienced consecration. He climbed a tree in Jericho. I've been there several times. He climbed up a tree in Jericho because he had heard about Jesus. He'd heard about who Jesus was, what he was doing, and he wanted to get into a position. There was something happening in the spiritual realm that caused Zacchaeus, who was a short man, to get up where he could see Jesus, and his prayer was very unique. His prayer was very life-changing. It was very short, but look at what he says in Luke 19, verse 8. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, here's his prayer, "Look, Lord." Look, Lord, that's enough. If you can say to the Lord God Almighty, turn your attention toward me. Please, Lord. There's a whole lot more to look, Lord, than you think. He was asking for God in the flesh to please give me just a moment of your attention. I climbed the tree so I could see you. I've heard about you, Jesus. Would you please look my way? He said, here now, Lord, I will give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anyone out of anything, he says, I will pay them how much? Four times what I took from them. He said, man, he's just making promises. No, he's fulfilling an Old Testament law. If you take something from somebody in the Old Testament, then God deals with you about it. You know what you're supposed to do? If you took 10, you give them 40 back. Okay? Listen, just in case you don't know, if you're sitting here in this room today and you're not a tither, God will accept your sorrow. Lord, I'm sorry. I haven't been given my tithe like I should, so next week I'm going to start. Well, you got a little catching up to do first because you owe the Lord 20% now instead of 10. How many preachers I got in the house? Is that true, guys? The Lord is calling for 20% if you haven't been tithing. That's another sermon, okay? Somebody said, stick with Zacchaeus, okay? Okay. All right. Some of y'all $5-ing God to death and you think you've done him a favor. No. God wants 10% of your income. And so Zacchaeus is going through this consecration. His prayer was unique and life-changing, and Jesus set Zacchaeus apart. Consecration came to Zacchaeus. Revival came to Zacchaeus. His prayers, though they were unrecorded, drove him to a position to get to the top of the tree and receive the revival that this man so longed to receive. How about you? You didn't climb a tree, but you're in this building today. You came to church, okay? Is God speaking to you? Or there's some things that are just out of line and you need to get them right? How about if you're watching online? Are you listening today? You tuned in for some reason. Maybe this is it. God is calling you to a place of consecration. Or maybe you're sitting home there with that iPhone, or you're on the big screen. Okay? We know how to make it go from the phone to the big screen. Consecration is coming to you today. Maybe the reviving of your spirit is finally here. Not only Zacchaeus, but how about the thief on the cross? The Bible also tells us of a man who was listed. He's unnamed. We don't know his name. We just call him a thief. Okay? At least he made the Bible. Okay? He's a thief. And he finds himself on one side of Jesus on the hill of Calvary, the place of the skull. And he was one of two criminals who were crucified that day with Jesus. And the other one is hurling all sorts of insults his way. Hey, if you're Jesus, man, take us off this thing. Yeah, I heard about you, you miracle man. Take us off the cross. This man cries out and says, hey, bro, you over there hurling insults. He said, but have you ever looked at it this way? He's not worthy to be on the cross. You and I are criminals. Something is happening in this man's heart. We're getting what we deserve, the Bible says. But he hasn't done anything. And so Luke 23:42 has this man's simple prayer. See, some of y'all think you got to do like the Pharisees and stand on the corner and pronounce loud sounding prayers. No. Jesus will take a prayer any length. Okay, what does this man say? He says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Amen. Okay. Hey, would you pray for us, bud? Yeah, Father, I just ask Jesus to remember me when he comes into his kingdom. Amen. Short prayer. And the Bible says what? Jesus immediately responded, today. Right now, today, our bodies are going to give up the ghost here shortly, and we're going to be dead. And immediately, today, you will be with me in paradise. The simple prayer was the breeding ground for this man for consecration, who didn't have but a few moments to live, but he lived his last moments. Have you ever, as a Christian, I know some of you have you ever, as a Christian, criticize somebody? Oh yeah, he's up in the hospital dying now and he's ready to accept Jesus. How many of y'all have critically said something about, well, he wants the Lord now, he's in trouble? How many of y'all said that? Come on, let's be honest. You said that before. Raise up your hands. You said it before. You know why? Because I've said it before. I've said, man, now he wants Jesus. Now all of a sudden he's getting ready to check out of this world. You've said it before. But here's a man who's getting ready to check out. And he says, hey, Lord, when you come into your kingdom, please remember me. Today, you'll be with me in paradise. The simple prayer was the breeding ground for consecration in this man's short life left to live. For revival to a soul that only had a few moments. How about you? Today, you're sitting among people whose lives, you're sitting among people who, man, they go to church every Sunday, and here I am, man. I haven't been in 10 years, but here I am today. So, I hate to go up to the altar today. I hadn't been in here in 5 years. No, you need to get to the altar today. Today's your moment. The reason you're here is because it's a God-appointed moment that you be here this day on the 20-whatever it is of February 2023. Today's the day the Holy Ghost wants to do some business with you, and he's got enough grace about him to let you get here. He's got enough grace to let you sit here, and in a moment we're going to open the altars, and he's expecting you to respond to the preaching of the word. The Bible says signs and wonders shall follow those who preach the Bible. So today we're looking for an altar full of people. Some are going to need Jesus. Some just come in because they feel his presence. Some need a healing. Some need a relationship miracle. But whatever the case, you get into his presence. Amen? Some of you need a touch from the Lord today. Some of you just need to say at the end of the service, Lord, remember me. I don't know how to put it in words, Lord. But your word says there was a man who simply said, remember me. There's another guy who said, hey, Lord, look right here. I'm here today. I'm telling you, God knows how to interpret your words because he knows your heart anyway. All right? So revival is prayer bread, but guess what else revival is? It's word fed. Come on, y'all. It's word fed. Once you make the decision to live a consecrated life, once you make that decision, I want to follow Christ. My spirit is now revived. You have to do something. You have to feed yourself. David, the shepherd boy who turned into a king, said this, and he said it very well, Psalm 119:105. Your word, O Lord, is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Man, you know what? I love my iPhone. If you ever go Mac, you'll never go back. I love my iPhone. Some of y'all didn't get that. That's because you don't have one, all right? If you ever go Mac, you'll never go back. And in this iPhone, you have what I use a lot of times, man. You swipe down there, hit the left-hand button in the corner, and guess what you got? You got the nicest flashlight you could ever get. And, I've used that thing to find stuff. Come on, y'all with me? I've just used that thing to find stuff under the bed. Matter of fact, Pastor Joy lost a little cap off of a cosmetic the other day, and she said, that thing rolled under the sofa. There ain't but an inch between the sofa and the floor. I can't see it. I reached in my pocket, pushed my light out there. There it is. Come on there, bugger. Got me a broom handle and rolled that sucker back out to the front. Why? Because I got a light unto my path. He said, listen, my word is a lamp for your feet. Everywhere you step in your life, I've got some guidance for you. I've got some directions for you. I've got some principles that you need to follow. And I also have a light on your path so you can look forward and know where you're going. Psalm 119, verse 11, he goes on to say this. Your word, O Lord, have I done what? Have I hidden in my heart that I might not do what? Sin against you. It's a prevention. It helps you to live a godly life when you know the Bible. In fact, you should really, you say, well, all those scriptures came from Psalm 119. I could use every one of them in Psalm 119. It'd be okay. You know why? Because Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible. It has 176 verses, and every one of them has something to do with the word of God. Your word is a lamp to my feet, light to my path. I hid your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I will follow your decrees, your commands, O Lord, your principles, your precepts. You can look at Psalm 119. Every verse has something to do about God's word. In the Jewish tradition, they go through this whole book every new year, Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year. They go through the whole book because they want it to be the foundation of the entire year. Lord, may we live out your word. It has 22 stanzas. It's made up into a Hebrew acrostic poem. It's literally a poem. And every letter, somebody say every letter. Every letter of the Hebrew alphabet is used in the beginning of a verse. Every letter. It's a beautiful psalm. It's a beautiful psalm and tells a tremendous story about the power of God's word. In fact, one scholar said this. He said we should use Psalm 119 as a tuning fork. Some of y'all may not know what a tuning fork is unless you're a musician. But he said we should use Psalm 119 for us as a tuning fork for us as his instrument. You will tune your heart to love God more and to love his word more. Powerful statement. Put simply, consecration is word-led. It's the key to a life lived in a revived spirit. You get out of life what you put in it, okay? You get out of life what you put in it. Paul said that you and I can actually live in such a way, I love this, that our lives are living epistles. One of Pastor Joy's favorite passages here. Our lives are living epistles. 2 Corinthians 3, 2 and 3. You yourselves, Paul says, talking about the church, talking about the people there. He says, you yourselves, I want to remind you, you are our letter. How many of you know not everybody in the world has a Bible? You yourselves are our letter, written on your what? On your hearts, known and read by everyone. You show that you are a letter from Jesus Christ, your life. The result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on a tablet, but on the human heart. Have you ever said this about somebody? Man, you get around him, you better be ready. He's a walking Bible. You ever said that about somebody, haven't you? He knows the word. The character of people. Man, they're godly people. That's a godly woman. Paul is saying that the position that you and I have been called to is to be a living epistle. Some of you may be saying that you don't have an understanding of the word, but listen, we are without excuse in this generation. We've got every translation imaginable, King James, NIV, ESV, right down to the Message translation. We have it on paper. We have it online. We've got Bible apps. We have the entire Bible. If, in case you haven't done this before, go to YouTube on your phone and just search Bible. The entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation is available to you on YouTube as you ride down the road. You can listen to God's word coming into your ears. Well, I don't read well. No excuse. You don't have an excuse. You should be people of the Bible. Consecration and the revival of the Spirit are not only prayer-led, but they're what? Help me here. They're word-fed. You need to feed yourself with the Word of God. Thirdly and finally, revival is Spirit-led. Revival is Spirit-led. You can live a consecrated life by the help of the Holy Spirit. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit, listen, help me here. Look at your own life. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you, okay? And takes residence. Paul the Apostle said this in 1 Corinthians 6, the verses are 19-20. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? It's where the Holy Spirit lives. You see, God is a what? God is a spirit. And he's living inside of you. And he's living inside of me. Whom you've received from God, you are not your own. Verse 20, you were bought at a price. The price is behind me right here. You were bought at a price, the death of his only son, the shedding of the blood of his only son. And he said, therefore, honor God with your body. Honor God with your body. The Spirit of God lives in you and I. We house his presence, and he lives inside of us to cause us to live by the Spirit a consecrated life. John 14, 16 to 17a, he says this. Jesus said this, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another. If you're in the King James, it says comforter. He will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever. That is who? The Spirit of truth. People that, you know, there may be somebody sitting here today who feels like, man, I just can't live for God. I don't want to make a commitment until I know I can live it out. Man, that's stupid. You can't, look, The devil has robbed so many people. I don't want to go until I know that I can make a commitment that I'm going to stick with. Have you ever heard anybody say that? Just look at them next time and say, man, that's stupid. What do you mean? My pastor said so. That's just stupid. Because you know what? In your very best, the Bible says that your righteousness is as filthy rags before God. Okay? So if you wait until you get it all right, do you ever get cleaned up before you get a bath? You never get cleaned until you get a bath, okay? So listen, you must come to the understanding that the Spirit of God is helping you. I will ask you, the Father, He'll give you another comforter, the Spirit. And the Spirit will be inside you. The word in the original language, I didn't put it on the screen for you, but it's parakletos, paraclete, the transliteration. One who's called alongside you to help you. Okay? He's your helper. He's the one who teaches you to say no to ungodly things. The one that's speaking to your spirit. So the Spirit of God is in you. Ephesians 5, verse 18. And the Lord says to the church at Ephesus, hey, do not get drunk on wine. Because if you get drunk on wine, it leads to what? Debauchery. Well, I don't know what that means. Well, I'm glad you're here, okay? I'll help you understand it. What is debauchery? We don't use that word. It is anything in the arena of sensual pleasures, okay? Everything that falls under sensual pleasure. In other words, you like that because it appeals to your what? Your flesh. It's sensual pleasure. He says, if you get drunk on wine, it leads to debauchery. I don't want you to do that, but here's what I want you to do. Be what? Be filled with my Spirit. Why do I need to be filled with the Spirit? Because the Spirit will be your what? Your helper, okay? I'm giving you this as raw and simple as I know how to give it to you. The Spirit will be your helper. The Spirit will be the one that will convict you when you're getting ready to make a wrong move. The Spirit of God will speak to you and say, man, you better get out of there. It was the Spirit of God who caused Joseph to run out of that jacket and leave it behind because she done snatched it off his body. I bet it was a nice jacket too, man. I bet it wasn't something he got from Walmart. He coming out of that jacket because I ain't staying up in here. The Spirit of God helps you. Okay? And the Spirit of God wants to help you and He wants to help me. And we're commanded to be filled with the Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verse 4 in the New Testament gives us the biblical example of believers who were first filled with the Holy Spirit. It says, on the day of Pentecost, Jesus poured out the Spirit. Remember, He said, I got to go. Because if I don't go, the Spirit can't come. The Bible says all of them were filled. So you receive the Holy Spirit, but you may not always be filled with the Spirit. And you say, well, yeah, you know, I remember when I was in the youth group, I received the Holy Ghost and I spoke in tongues. Well, that's a good thing. But is that the last time you spoke in tongues? Okay. You know why you need to be filled and filled and filled again? Because you leak. You leak. You say, what you mean, Pastor? Be standing in a group of your friends and somebody say, look at that, man. Look at that TikTok video. What is it? Just look at it. Look at it. And you look at it and it's something you shouldn't be looking at, but you go, oh, I'm leaking. You know what just went out of you? What bit of spirit you had just leaked out. So you come and you receive the infilling every day of your life. Lord, fill me again. Fill me again. Lord, I need your what? I need your Spirit. Pastor said it was the paraclete. Pastor said it was the helper. Pastor said it was the comforter. I need you alongside of me because I can't do this on my own. I think I'm writing a song right here on the platform, okay? I need you, Lord, because I can't do this on my own. All right? I need the help of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost who has spoken to some of you sitting in this room this morning. As we come to a close today, I want to remind you that you're better led by Him than by your own means. I used to lead my life. And I led myself down paths I wish I had never been down. I led myself down paths that were not paths of righteousness. And it was for my name's sake. Okay? That's where I wanted to go. That's where I wanted to be. That's who I wanted to be with. But it was not the right path. And God set me up with a young lady who was the catalyst for a life-changing experience with Jesus. I later married her. And she has walked with me through the valley of the shadow of death. She's walked with me through everything we've ever been through together. She's been a great help. But can I tell you, some of you are walking alongside great helps too, but you know what? The greatest helper is the Holy Spirit. The greatest helper is the Holy Spirit. Could I get you just to stand with me this morning? The greatest helper is the Holy Spirit. Consecration. Man, I just wish I could live for God. Consecration is prayer bread. It's word fed. And it is spirit led. I'm asking you today, man, examine your heart. Examine your heart. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Let's pray together. Today, Lord, just meet us where we are. Thank you, Lord, that you don't condemn us. Not a person in this room, not a single one listening online or following us. You are not a God of condemnation. People do. People let us down. People accuse us. People stereotype us. People are mean. But Lord, you are kind. You are loving. You are loving. And you are kind. And you are kind enough to allow me to stand in this room right now. And come on, church, help me pray. I come against every hindering spirit right now. I take it captive, those spirits that would hold back individuals who need today a moment of consecration. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your tremendous love for us. You gave your life freely on Calvary's cross. And today, I just want to say, Lord, help me. Today, I just want to be like a Zacchaeus who says, hey, Lord, look, can you look this way? Lord, would you help us today? In Jesus' strong name. I want to make a first appeal this morning because I feel like it just needs to be done. You're here today. You're standing in the presence of God. And you say, Pastor, man, you rang my bell today. I'm not where I need to be. I want you to forget all about when you were 12 and you shook the preacher's hand. And I want you to forget all about, because what you need to be concerned about is right now. Okay? And if you know you're standing here, you say, man, I just need to get some stuff right. Come on, right out of your seat. Come on, come on, just come on down. Come on down. Nobody's here to embarrass you. We're only here to love you. And I know, because I know, because I know. The Holy Spirit, that's the reason your heart is skipping beats right now. It's beating a little faster than it normally does because the Holy Spirit has laid his hand on you. Come on, that's right. Just step out of your seat. Some are coming. Just come on. I need some ministers, please, at the altar. Help me out. Come on, you're a minister of the gospel. Just find yourself a place. People are going to come to you. They're coming right out of their seats right now. Come on. Come on with them. The preachers are coming. People are coming. God's going to help you today. Today's your day. And listen, if you're in the pews today, I want you to turn to the person that's beside you. There you go. God's saving this young man right here. There we go. Come on, Eric, Keisha, pray for this guy right here. Hey, I want you to just take a moment and help the pastor. Somebody say, help the pastor. Would you simply turn to the person that's beside you and say, hey, man, you want me to go with you? Come on. You want me to go with you? I'll go with you. Just say that. Because sometimes that's all just an invitation. Look at that. That's all it takes. Janet said, hey, I'll go with you. Look at that. Come on. Give her a hand, y'all. You want me to go with you? Listen, the devil is going to try to put white knuckle on you. Now, you black people may not get white knuckle, but I know what I'm talking about here. Okay? You just drained every bit of blood out of your knuckles. You holding on to that seat. Let it go. Come on down. Holy Spirit, have your way among us today. Have your way. Ask them. Come on, turn the other way. Ask the other person. You want me to go with you? You need some help? Hey there. God bless you. God bless you. You want me to go with you? Because right now the Holy Spirit is helping people. No condemnation in this house. We don't, listen, we're not here. We're not against you. We're for you. We're for you. Come on down. Receive the blessing of the Lord today. Receive the strength that you need to live more effectively for God. More effectively for God. Hallelujah. There's more. I know it is. There you go. Been revived when we shall leave this place. There you go. All people need is an invitation. Come on. Can I help you? Would you go, like me to go with you? That's all they need. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly dove, just stay right here with us, filling us with your love.
Hey, listen, let's just give glory to the Lord this morning. Come on, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Let me ask you a question this morning. How many of you are here? You'd say, Pastor, I made a spiritual commitment to Jesus today. Come on, raise your hand up high. I made a spiritual commitment to the things of God. God bless you, man. God bless you. Souls touched today. Praise the Lord over here. Hallelujah. I prayed for someone to be healed today. How many of you say God touched my body today? Amen. Look at that. Look at that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Touched their body today. Healings in the name of Jesus. How many of you received just a fresh encounter with the Holy Ghost? Maybe you haven't prayed in the Spirit for a while. Anybody? Praise the Lord. God bless you. God bless you. God sees those hands. God sees those hands. Pray in the Spirit. Amen. He wants you to pray with understanding as well, but he wants you to pray in the Spirit, because the Spirit knows how to pray when you don't know how to pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Pastor Joy, would you come and just honor us today with dismissing our service, giving praise to the Lord. Come on, give it up for Pastor Joy today. Hallelujah. Let's believe God. Let's believe God today for his power to continue to move. We need a move. We sang about it, for his power to continue to move. Bless us now as we prepare to leave today. God bless you.
Thank you, Lord. When you're leaving today, please be careful. There are a lot of children that will be in the parking lots. Hopefully they'll be with their parents, but always be careful. Lord, we come to you. We thank you, Father, for today's message. Lord, that it's prayer bread, Spirit-led, and Word-fed. And Father, we ask, Lord, that you would just continue, Lord, to give us a hunger for you, that you would allow us, Lord, to share this week with someone who is searching for truth, that someone that just needs you to be real with them and share with them how we make it through, how you make it through. So, Father, give us courage, give us boldness, and Lord, help us to hunger for your word, hunger for communication and time with you. We give you praise, we give you honor. Lord, bless those that are leaving today. In Jesus' name, amen.